This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. The Junkies are out. D-Day and Big L, we are in. Denton Day, Linnell Willingham with you for this Martin Luther King Day morning. Linnell, we had a whole lot of surprising playoff action, I think, this weekend. But how are you, my friend? Did you enjoy the weekend?
I did, man. Great slate of games, as you mentioned. I'm shocked they gave us this slot again. Must be doing something right here. Shout out the boss, man. Let's do it. So much that happened this weekend, Denton, and I want to start in Jacksonville. I want to jump right to it because I'm frustrated. They called it Super Wild Card Weekend, and everything was super about it. I was surprised at the high level of competition that we saw in some of these games. Like, I expected more blowouts than we got.
Yeah,
and the games were uber competitive.
Yeah, so did Vegas, to be honest.
Yeah, so did, I mean, I wonder how much money Vegas lost this weekend, because it feels like everything, the Giants
game.
Well,
they got some help, because somebody in the game that you are referencing,
yeah,
somebody bet like $1 million that...
1.4
that the Chargers were going to win. It would have paid them out $11,000. That's a terrible gamble. I mean, gambling 101, that's a terrible gamble. And they end up losing the money, so Vegas loves that person.
Yeah, he's got ends, clearly, and if that's the way he's going to be spending his money, it's N-E-L-L underscore BTP on Cash App as well, if anybody wants to send me some guala. But it was interesting, man. The Jacksonville game is probably the game that I have the most commentary on. Last night's game was incredible as well. I was shocked at how close and competitive that was. I think Harbaugh deserves a ton of credit for what they've been able to dial up against Joe Burrow all year. He's really struggled against that defense. But that Jacksonville game, man, I woke up and I missed the opening kickoff. I missed like the first couple of possessions, and then LA's is just doing it.
They're punching them in the mouth, kicking their teeth in, whatever physical metaphor you want to use there.
Everything you want. You know, I call Justin Herbert baby Jesus because he's just special and he does things that are superhuman.
Yeah, we're going to have a conversation about that nickname in a second.
Yeah, I mean, can you blame him for what the hell happened, though? Does he get partial blame? That's how you know we're up and doing the junks. The annual Denton Day alarm going off in the middle of a second. That's beautiful.
My tweet alarm.
That's good. We're here.
I mean, yeah, I could blame Justin Herbert.
How?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he threw the ball 43 times.
Yeah.
And they didn't score in the second half. They scored a field goal in the second half.
Oh, don't short on the field goal.
I can absolutely point a finger and say, if you are baby Jesus, like you mentioned, why were you not? I mean, we need to strip the name baby Jesus and turn him into baby Bale, or just take it in general, because, I mean, I've read the book that describes the man from Nazareth's life.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one coming back from deficits, not blowing them.
Yeah.
So I think we might need to strip it a little bit. I mean, my thoughts with Justin Herbert, I think I understand why people like him. Like, I understand that he is uber talented and there are things that people really enjoy about the way that he plays games, but I absolutely think that people think he is better and give him more credit for success that he has not actually earned yet.
I mean, he's in a really tough situation. Their head coach is a little bonkers, talking about Brandon Staley.
But this is now the second time in his 3 years that they're going to change coaches.
I mean, is it a foregone conclusion? Do you think it's a foregone conclusion that Staley gets fired after this collapse?
I would think it's foregone. I mean, if he survives a 27-0 collapse,
yeah.
Brandon Staley might be Jesus.
We were talking about this before we got started officially. My finger is pointed at Joe Lombardi, the offensive coordinator. For them to only run the football 8 more times after securing their 27-0 lead, that is offensive malpractice. I like to say organizational malpractice. That's offensive malpractice. And it's not like... It's not like, you know, Jacksonville's run defense is some type of juggernaut. They just didn't really try. 23 rushing attempts on the day.
But they're not a running team. That's
the
problem.
They're not, but this is the reason why you have to be able to run the football is for moments like this in the postseason. The clock, Jacksonville shouldn't have had the time to score 31 points, quite frankly.
No, they shouldn't have. You're right.
So you should have run the clock out. I was texting with a buddy who tried to, Chargers fan, by the way. They're blaming Justin Herbert for not checking in the run plays. Does that make sense to you? Because I'm like, well, he has this, he's superhuman, the social media quarterback, all that. I call him baby Jesus. So clearly he should have that type of authority at the line of scrimmage. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Would you rather have Justin Herbert with the game on the line or Austin Eckler?
Yeah.
Like, I don't disagree with their decision not to run. How many times this season, because Austin Eckler is not a running back one.
He's right. a 2-touchdown scoring machine.
He's not in that echelon. He's a great fantasy player, but he's not a running back one. Without looking, how many times do you think this season that Austin Eckler has had a game with 20 or more carries?
4.
0.
0?
0. He's not the guy that they turn to run. Their offense is not built to run the football. Like, you can watch the way that the Ravens play on Sunday night and say that's a team that's going to run the football.
Right.
You can ideally, fingers crossed, in 2023, look at the Commanders and say that's a team that likes to run the football. The Chargers aren't built that way. They are built under the watchful eye and back and arm and cannon of Justin Herbert. Austin Eckler is great as a dual threat kind of guy, but if you're running the ball 20-plus times with Austin Eckler, you're not in a good position to win.
No. No, I just think anytime you build a lead like that, though, you got to close it out. The penalty situation, you know, screwed him over as well. 7 penalties for 42 yards. Was it playoff history? Did we find this out? To win the turnover battle... By 5 turnovers. 5.
5.
Not 1. Not 2. You know the rest. 5 turnovers. Nothing about it made sense. Football fans and sports fans out there, forgive me. I was contemplating all weekend whether or not I was going to say this on the air. It almost made me feel like, is the NFL rigged? It, even when Doug Peterson comes out of the locker room and they're interviewing him, I've never seen a head coach that composed, that cool, down 20. I know that score and the touchdown drive that they had before the half obviously eases your nerves a little bit, and it gives you a realistic shot at coming back and winning this football game technically, but I'm shocked, especially the way the Chargers are built defensively. You have Khalil Mack. You have Bosa. They are supposed to be primed for moments like this. You have the lead. Pass rushers, pin your ears back and go get Trevor Lawrence. I was shocked. Well, at the end of the game collapse.
The theme of this show is going to be that coaching matters.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson is a different kind of beast than Brandon Staley is. He's a different kind of beast than a lot of guys in the NFL because he was calm in that situation. And I think subconsciously he knew, you know, Trevor's not going to make these mistakes all night long. And he didn't make those mistakes all night long. You saw why this guy was the number one overall, you know, generational talent, the prince that was promised, which is what you call him. It's an official nickname on Pro Football Reference. There was just an arrogance, like a fun arrogance about Jacksonville where they knew that they were still the better of the two teams. And I don't think there's any question after watching that game who the better of those two quarterbacks is right now.
Not even a question.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence is the guy. He's the one that threw 4 interceptions, but he's still the
guy.
I don't know.
Our buddy Neil in Rockville tweets us and says, who knew that Scott Turner got a job so quick as the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville? I was like, interesting to me. I thought Neil was trying to send a jab at Scott Turner. You could tweet at us all show long at the Denton Day and at NELL_BTP. I want to go back to Lawrence versus Herbert. Because
I don't think
that's
any question.
It is. There is a tier of guys, and they're all young right now. Herbert, Lawrence, Burrow, Mahomes, Josh Allen. Am I missing somebody?
I mean, those are all AFC guys. I can't.
Well, that's where the real quarterbacks exist.
You could throw Jalen Hurts in there, maybe.
I have comments on Jalen Hurts. It'll be interesting to see them next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts and Lamar would be the only two, but I understand people are kind of hesitant on giving Lamar credit at the moment.
I'm all about giving Lamar credit.
We'll stick with those five.
It just shows, man, what happens when you D&D. That's like my new phrase all offseason 2022 is D&D. Draft and develop at the game's most important position. This shows these teams are going to be, you know, competitive and a problem for each other for years to come because they've got two of the top 10 guys in the game at the position. You made the argument Lawrence over Herbert. I'm not ready to do that. I still think from a physical standpoint, there are things. Justin Herbert's special. Trevor Lawrence is special as well.
But isn't it about
apples
winning?
Apples and apples. It is about winning, but.
Because he has all the physical traits.
Yeah.
But Justin Herbert doesn't win big games. That's kind of been the standpoint throughout his whole career, this one in the NFL.
I hate that narrative because.
But point to me a big game that he's won.
Last year, was that on him?
Was it fully on him? I mean, don't you. Where are we just going to. How are you going to distribute blame?
I get it.
Because were the Raiders a good team last year? I thought the Chargers
were
much
hot.
More talented.
They were hot.
They were hot, and they were riding on the Bisaccia guy, who his facial hair never made sense to me.
Yeah.
Half was great, half was not. But I look at that game and you think if Justin Herbert is this guy that he is, you know, the one that he is the face of their franchise without question. But if he's the guy that you want to build around, take you to the promised land, you got to win that game. And the same thing with Saturday, against Jacksonville.
This is 2 years in a row, though. Justin Herbert has fell victim to the system, as I like to call it. He has been a victim of coaching malpractice. How can I blame baby Jesus for that? He goes out and performs in these big games. The numbers are gaudy. 25 of 43, 273. A touchdown.
I mean, those aren't
great.
Doesn't
turn the football over.
He doesn't turn the ball over, but do you love those numbers? I wouldn't call those gaudy numbers. I'd call them okay numbers.
I mean, to do it without your number one wide receiver, I mean.
Number 1A,
I think. 1A, all right. Keenan Allen
is a number one wide receiver.
To do that in that situation without, you know, one of your star-studded wideouts against a defense in Jacksonville, it's pretty good. They've gotten hot as of late. He did his thing. I mean. He made big-time throws in that game. Like, they were explosive plays all over the yard. He was slinging it in the first half. It just felt like great adjustments by Jacksonville defensively. Joe Lombardi is the one that's getting the heat for me. I know Brandon Staley being the head coach is the one people want to fall on the sword. But Joe Lombardi's job, we talk about how difficult Scott Turner's job was at offensive coordinator here, dealing with 9 different quarterbacks. Joe Lombardi, you have arguably one of the best physical specimens in the world. In the world, at the quarterback position, and to blow that lead, and I'm even bringing in last year to my evaluation.
But,
this
is just what this is what the Chargers do, though.
Yeah,
they have that history, and this isn't a Brandon Staley thing. This isn't a Justin Herbert thing. Like, this goes back to Philip Rivers in the years with LT.
Yeah.
This goes back to Drew Brees. Like, the Chargers consistently blow leads. They had one of the greatest coaches of a generation, Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
They were 14-2, and they lost in the divisional round. They're a one and done. It's just something about the organization. I know we point at the organization in this city as one that's cursed because of organizational malpractice, but the Chargers aren't all that much better. They've had more success in the postseason, yes, and I would love to have said that the team here has been to a conference championship game, but the fact is they are the Clippers to the Rams Lakers.
Yeah.
You think they're going to be good, and how many people this season, this offseason, said the Chargers are going to the Super Bowl?
It wasn't a bad pick. Like, they won the offseason by far. To be able to acquire, was it Khalil Mack that they acquired this offseason, or was that last offseason?
He's been there for definitely this offseason. I think it was this offseason.
The moves that they made on defense, though, like, they've drafted well. They got guys coming back healthy in the secondary. They got hit hard by injury.
They did.
And that is really
what everybody
did.
Very true. And a lot of the Mike Williams thing, that's a different beast. That's a different beast. I mean, I don't know whose fault that is, but that is somebody's fault. That's not
Brandon
Mike Williams'
Staley's
fault.
Yeah, that's on Brandon Staley.
That's terrible. But, like, there are guys that underperformed. And I understand Bosa didn't play a ton of games this year.
Yeah.
But Joey Bosa is not Nick Bosa. Like, there's a clear-cut difference between those two guys. And, oh, by the way, Joey Bosa completely losing his you-know-what on the sideline, not once but twice.
That's the big
and
difference.
And getting penalties that allowed Trevor Lawrence, who's basically, you know, 8 feet tall, he just had to stretch the ball over, which, again, Doug Peterson, coaching, being not afraid of that moment, I think that's something that he learned in Philadelphia, and he trusted his guys. You could tell Trevor Lawrence is that dude.
And that's 100%. Why I put him there. It's just like those little, because you look at the physical traits with Justin Herbert and say, you know, how do you mess this guy up? I look at sort of the mental stuff with Trevor Lawrence, and I say there's just something a little different about the way that he processes things and the way that he's not afraid of certain things to say, it's a slight edge, but it's still an edge as to why Trevor would be over Justin Herbert. You listed those five guys out there. I think there's a pretty clear-cut order in the way that those five quarterbacks in the AFC would go. If you're doing this on a sheet of paper, right? So think of a classic loose-leaf sheet of paper. Mahomes is at the top. You would skip two lines, and then there's Burrow, right? Yeah. It's those two guys. I would skip about eight lines, and then Josh Allen. Skip maybe another, I don't know how many lines are on a loose leaf sheet of paper. I probably should have done that for research first. Skip another five lines, Trevor Lawrence, and then right under him is Justin Herbert.
See, that's where I don't agree, because I'm not a huge Josh Allen fan, and the way he collapsed down the stretch, I feel like no one's talking about this year.
Oh, so you would rank him lower, because I feel like most people would be upset that I ranked Burrow over him, and those people are dumb, because Joe Burrow's
I think Burrow's scratching and clawing and chasing Mahomes. I mean, he's the closest thing to Mahomes right now in the NFL when it comes to pocket presence, the off-schedule stuff, leadership, making big plays. I want to go back to Bosa for a second, because you said he is not his brother.
He's not.
He's in San Francisco. Well, one's a jackwagon and one's not. We have this platform, and I'm going to do the Lord's work here. For him, first of all, let's really talk about his season as a whole. Battled injuries all year. I look at the final stats for him this year. I couldn't even believe it. This is a former number three overall pick. Mm-hmm. 2.5 sacks this year? Yeah. Does he deserve to have the last name Bosa?
Well, you can't take that away from him.
Hey, technically you can't, but to have the selfish blunder that he had on Saturday night, costing his team the game.
Twice. Like, it wasn't just a one-time thing, it was twice.
Selfish? I mean, come on, help me out here.
I mean, it was arrogant, it was conceited, it was condescending, it was all these different things, because he thought he was bigger than the team. Like, was Joey Bosa getting held? Yeah.
100%.
He was.
It's playoffs, though.
Do you need to be slamming your helmet down? Now, it was hilarious when he slammed his helmet down on the sideline. Brandon Staley picked his helmet up, handed it back to him, and then he re-slammed it again, which is kind of doubling down on the fact that that's why I think Brandon Staley's gone. I don't think they respect him. Like, would you ever see a situation where John Allen was upset and he slams his helmet, and then Ron Rivera gives him his helmet and he slams it right back? Hell no.
No,
Ron's in his grill.
Yeah,
he's been like, yo, what are you doing?
That's when linebacker Ron would have popped off and gotten his face. I think you make an excellent point, though, about Staley. That can't happen. And I think you can set a tone in that football game after it happens the first time. Like, you're done. Don't go back in. It's over for you. You have to send, like you said, there's a message that you send to the rest of your roster. If one of your team leaders can act like that and cost your team the game, essentially.
Because he did. I mean, he did. Like, he cost them the game.
Well, yeah, Cameron Dicker has something to say about that as well. Because, I mean, the field goal that he missed.
He missed the field goal, but they're not I don't think they go for two if Joey Bosa doesn't get that penalty.
100%.
Now, granted, the penalty was literally like a yard penalty, but that yard is just enough for Trevor Lawrence to literally snap the ball, lift it over, and raise it across the goal line. Yeah. That's all he didn't have to fall forward. He didn't have to jump. Like Tyler Huntley on Sunday night had to jump. He jumped up. The ball got punched out. It goes 98 yards the other way. Trevor literally just had to reach it over because the guy's so long.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around on the L.A. Chargers front. I mentioned Joe Lombardi, the offensive coordinator, only calling 8 run plays after they got up 27-0. What about this Chargers defense, though? This is a group, although they've dealt with injury, have a lot of resources invested on that side of the football, for them to give up the long touchdown drives that they gave up in that second half, embarrassing. I mean, you can't, especially in that situation where your defensive front is just better than the Jacksonville Jaguars. Straight up. Walker Little. Did you see what Walker Little was doing in the clutch?
Yeah.
Locking up Khalil Mack. I was also impressed with that. Like, they were just some really good individual performances from Jacksonville, but I think the common theme of everything that we saw this weekend is, like you said, it hit it at the top. Coaching matters. And for those folks who think it doesn't, wake up and smell the coffee.
And coaching wasn't just the subject of conversation between Los Angeles and Jacksonville. It was the subject of the night game as well. You will not believe what one player said about a coaching decision in Baltimore. That's next. It's the Junkies, Denton Day, Linnell Willingham in for the squad. 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980, and also in Richmond on 910 The Fan. We'll be back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. The Junkies are out. Denton Day, Linnell Willingham, we are in. We're discussing the postseason, Linnell, and a theme of our show early has been coaching. Well, coaching was called into criticism yesterday following the Bengals and the Ravens. So the Bengals beat the Ravens 24-17. A 98-yard scoop and score gave the Bengals the lead in the fourth quarter. But a guy that was not happy was J.K. Dobbins. He had just came back from injury. I thought J.K. Dobbins, to me, is a game changer. I thought he was great last night. He was not the one that got that carry that led to the fumble. It was instead Tyler Huntley. J.K. Dobbins after the game. The Ravens are kind of falling apart, which – This is great. This is wonderful. But here is J.K. Dobbins after the game, critical of the decision to not give him the ball more.
I should be the guy. I'm tired of holding that back. I'm tired of that. 12, it's the playoffs. I'm tired of holding that back. Let's go win the game. I'm tired of holding back on that. I'm tired of that.
Did you say that to anybody?
I did. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm a playmaker. I'm a guy that my teammates feed off me when I'm on the field. I should be out there all the time. You know what I'm saying? But that's just not the case how I go here.
I don't know.
Is he lying? I don't think so.
I mean, I get it. Time and place. I'm always a big believer of some things are just best kept in-house. I think those comments should have been kept in-house. I think this is more surprising to me. The bigger revelation is this, to see the dents in the Ravens' armor here over the past month or so. We've had the ongoing Lamar Jackson thing with the knee injury, people calling into question whether or not he's actually healthy enough to play. I get it. Playoffs, you want your best guys out there. But for J.K. to have this reaction in a game that they're really not supposed to be in, let's be honest. I had them having no shot in this one. I didn't think it would be this close. Obviously, the Hubbard fumble recovery touchdown changes this thing. I do agree with him, though. He should have had the football in his hand, but to call out your guy in that situation, I guess it's fair when you know Greg Roman's not going to be there next year, so I guess you can do it. But I don't know, man. I think the bigger revelation for me is to see this first-class organization, talking about Baltimore, this is how we view them, as like almost like on Patriots level. Like they don't have leaks come out of their building. They don't have drama. So to hear J.K. Dobbins' comments post-game combined with all the Lamar Jackson stuff leading up to the game. I had Jason Lockenfor on, who does radio in Baltimore. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. He told me, I believe on Tuesday, tag and trade is 100% what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson. So the writing's on the wall, and who knows, maybe J.K. Dobbins will be in a different uniform next year as well.
I love this. Oh, I love this so much. The house is falling. I don't know what the Ravens house was made of.
Yeah.
But the big bad wolf has finally found a way to tear that bad boy down. It is absolutely falling apart for years here in Washington. Supporting the team we support, we have had to deal with the condescending nature of this Ravens fan base. They're like 30 miles up the road. They're looking down at us. They've won a Super Bowl. They've had, I mean, Harbaugh's been the coach there for like 15 years.
Stability.
They've had two quarterbacks for like 15 years. They went right from Flacco to Lamar Jackson. We had three this year here in D.C. And to see this crumbling in front of our very eyes. With Lamar Jackson, not there. He wants his money. He said, no thank you. J.K. Dobbins, who was the best offensive player on the field last night for the Ravens, not getting the ball, calling his team out, being like, why didn't you give me the football? I love John Harbaugh. He's one of my favorite coaches in the NFL. But I feel vindicated and validated watching this organization crumble because they have been so annoying for decades.
What's annoying? Decades. Are you more annoyed about the comparison here to Washington?
I'm more annoyed about their fan base.
Yeah. They deserve it.
Decade. Screw them.
Yeah.
Just
okay.
because.
Strong feelings.
Just because an Ursay took your team in the middle of your night, you got ghosted on a one-night stand. You thought it was more. It was a one-night stand to someone else. And now you think you can look down at us. Hey, we've been loyal. Haven't been great. We've been loyal here.
Yeah, I know.
They
ain't
got that.
I know you won't be out in the mean streets of East Baltimore anymore.
I will not, no. I wasn't there very frequently to begin with. But I just don't love the town of Baltimore in general.
Well, it is, for all my Baltimore people listening, I'm sorry, it is a bleep hole.
I mean, how many times do you go to Baltimore and the sun is shining?
No.
Not frequently.
Yeah.
Good crab cakes, though. Good crab cakes.
Yeah, good crab cakes. Like you said, though, just to see this thing fall and have the bottom come out of it is... I'm not as excited and giddy about it as you are. That's actually Heel Denton for all these people that don't know who this guy is right now. This is
Clarence speaking. This is Clarence. Yeah, and Clarence loves watching Baltimore lose.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely fascinating, man. I want to go more into the Lamar Jackson stuff, though, because that's really, to me, where this all started from. I thought for the gambler in me was like, well, what's a reason for me to put money on Baltimore to keep it close and cover, I think it was 8.5 by kickoff.
8.5 was the spread, yeah.
Sometimes those situations in a locker room where the Lamar Jackson stuff and the drama, sometimes that rallies a group. And I thought before kickoff that maybe that would happen for Baltimore, and it ultimately did. They played Cincinnati, you know, uber close. I just am not a fan of the individualism. Like, J.K. Dobbins, I get it, buddy. But, dude, who is J.K. Dobbins for real? Is J.K. Dobbins just some elite back, or is he a product of this Greg Roman offense? Like, is there anything special about J.K. Dobbins?
Oh, yeah.
He's coming off ACLs. He was limping the last time I saw him running against Cincinnati.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
Wow.
I'm
just not as high
on
the guy. I think he benefits from this offensive scheme that they run. The Lamar Jackson stuff, though, we'll play the Michael Vick clip from the Fox pregame show in a second here, but he's gotten a lot of flack about this PCL sprain.
You think? They were on big major networks counting the practices he'd missed. I'm like, it's not
days.
Even weeks. They're like, yeah, he's made 16 practices. I've never felt so in tune with Allen Iverson when I read that headline. I was like, are you serious? We're counting practices this guy's missing?
Yeah. Look, I understand it completely. The Ravens mismanaged the situation, and it just was for me, it was the first real dent in their armor was when they did not, you know, sign Lamar Jackson to a long-term deal. We've seen Josh Allen get paid. We've seen Kyler Murray get paid. We've seen Creep Watson get paid. So the fact that Lamar can't get his bag.
He's the one that screwed the Ravens because he got fully guaranteed, and Lamar's like, wait a second. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm not doing all the things that he's doing. Like, I'm here at the facility. I go home, and I might play football in a blacktop every now and then with some kids. And he just got $253 million, guaranteed. Like, the Browns screwed a lot of people with that deal.
I just think, you know, for the Ravens, this is a situation that I feel like normally they handle properly. Like, they don't have an issue paying their major guys. Ray Lewis got his bag. Joe Flacco leads him to a Super Bowl, gets his bag. They paid Ed Reed. Like, they normally have a tendency of paying their franchise building blocks, and I think Lamar, by and large,
but
is definitely
Lamar's
that.
Lamar's different, though.
What's different about it, though?
Because he doesn't have an agent.
So you think the agent thing is why the deal's not done?
I don't think
you need to have an agent when the negotiating is just black and white for Lamar.
It's the concept. It's a very novel concept of he's so close to the vest. He's relying on family, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing, but it's very different in the demands. You're not taking this negotiation as if you are an agent. You know, it's a little more of an outside perspective, which, again, I actually think for Lamar it's better because I think it's going to get him more things, but it's just such a different thing in terms of a typical negotiating tactic. Like, they just paid Roquan Smith. He's been there for, like, you know, a cup of coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, like, and he just got $100 million. So I don't think it
To an off-ball linebacker.
To an off-ball linebacker, right. Like, yeah. I think Lamar is deserving of the money, but the way that he's going about it, he is very Kawhi Leonard. I mean, if you remember when Kawhi Leonard, like, we had no idea what Kawhi Leonard wanted at all. Everything was tighter than tight to the vest because his family was representing him. And his family is, they're not, like, I mean, do you know anything about Lamar Jackson's mom?
No.
Like,
no, I don't. I'm sure she's a great lady.
Nobody in Baltimore knows anything about her. Nobody at Louisville knew anything about her. And she's, you know, she's kind of supposedly heading this. Like, even when Robert Griffin III was here, we didn't know much about his family, but we knew his family.
Yeah.
And his dad would come out, yeah, good and bad, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
I don't know if they know anything about Lamar's family. And that's an element of this that is very different. And I think that's kind of what's causing a lot of the holdup. And, of course, he wants fully guaranteed money. He wants fully guaranteed money, and I don't blame
him.
And
he should have it. That's why I think, like, this negotiation, hell, I could have negotiated this contract for Lamar Jackson. I think anyone who was going to be representing him, the facts are the facts are the facts. MVP, got some of the best, you know, quarterback performances from a running standpoint ever in history. There's an argument to be made that he's Michael Vick-esque with as a runner. His, the big stuff that he does in that community, doesn't have any off-the-field problems. And the MVP, like, what, once a guy has an MVP on his resume, pay him. I think that's my rule of thumb. I don't care how you got it. I think the big issue with Baltimore and why they're reluctant to pay him is because of Lamar's style of play. I think that has been the holdup. And maybe there is a philosophical difference with Baltimore and their front office as to what type of quarterback they're going to pay. But I think that's just silly to not pay this guy. I mean, he is what 2023 NFL quarterbacking is. He's somebody who...
Isn't it so ironic, though, that they were so ahead of the game when giving Lamar Jackson the ball, and now they don't want to pay him?
Yeah, I mean, but there's always... The Lamar critics will always point to the playoff numbers, and the last two seasons he's gotten hurt down the stretch, but, like, those are an anomaly. He's got the MVP. That MVP season that he put together was one of the best quarterback seasons ever.
Yeah.
Point blank, period. So he should have gotten his money then. I don't know, man. They're going to end up being... You know, drawing the short end of the stick, so to speak. I was coming up with some interesting trade scenarios over the weekend. Once Jason Lockenfour told me that on Tuesday, I was like, okay, so this has wheels. And then the conversation and dialogue around it, it clearly seems like this is somebody that's not going to, you know, play another down in Baltimore. So Miami, I know he's from that area.
Yeah.
I know they've committed to Tua as their starter for 2023 for whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, and I not committed a to decision. A diet over the weekend, yeah. And I ate a full pizza last night.
You know, like, so clearly it's one of those things where two organizations that are in different places, both of them not that good. Lamar, though, you wrote this on a rundown here. Him here in D.C., what does that do for you? Does that move the needle?
No, I don't think so. I was thinking about this because I would love to have Lamar, but the guaranteed money, no. I would shy away from the guaranteed money just based off of the way that the organization here is built.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens are built to Lamar wins you games.
Yeah.
And that should have been very obvious after last night. Tyler Huntley is a fine quarterback, but he's back. He is their Taylor Heineke.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson is an MVP.
That's enough of a negotiating tactic right there. See what the other guy looks like.
Right.
I mean, so clearly, I mean, they got a decision to make. I don't think it's particularly a difficult decision to make, but they seem like they've botched this thing, and they're going to continue to botch it.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. Again, watching this team, that it feels like they have just been on this pedestal. Because you mentioned, they're like the Patriots, right? Oh, boy, did they let you know that they were like the Patriots. Oh, we're such a great organization. Oh, we do right by everybody. Oh, look at our coach. He's so great. Oh, he's so wonderful. I mean, he might get a little snippy every now and then in the mid-game interviews, but who doesn't get snippy in the mid-game interviews? Yeah. It's so great to watch them completely fall apart in front of our face.
Yeah, it stinks for Lamar, because I think Lamar's a really good dude, and he's gotten some unnecessary, unwarranted flack from me in the media. Here is former Falcons quarterback Michael Vick on the Fox pregame show talking about what he thinks Lamar Jackson should have done.
But Coach Say, like you just said, it's the playoffs, man. You're three games away. Put a brace on it. Get it going.
And look.
Put a brace on it. Let's go.
It's hard to say that, though.
Right.
I don't know the extent of his injury.
I played the whole season on a sprained MCL, so.
Yeah, I understand he's not ready.
Whole season.
But with a lower body injury, he's going to be up in the press box. He's not going to be on the field for me.
Charles? You know,
if this team was.
That's Michael Vick and then Charles Woodson coming in trying to give some real commentary. I want to let Michael Vick get the attention he deserves here. For him to make that asinine comment, this is the same guy that said Colin Kaepernick needed to cut his hair in order to get back in the NFL. So Michael Vick's takes aren't good for me. He's an idiot. I think there's a jealousy factor with Lamar Jackson because, to me, Lamar surpassed Michael Vick as the known running quarterback in the National Football League. I think there's that plays into it. But to hear him, first of all, an MCL sprain and a PCL sprain, you don't need to be a doctor to understand that P is not the same as M. Clearly, two completely different, you know, injuries. So, Michael Vick, shut the hell up. Seriously.
I mean, you can't take the old school out of the old school. He's an old school guy.
I don't want to hear it. How many MVPs does Michael Vick have? Has he won an MVP? before I go slander him, because, man, I'm like, I took it personal because I think maybe I'm just trying to stir the pot here. I just feel like there's more to the jealousy aspect of it than people might think.
No,
Michael Vick
does not have an MVP.
So be quiet.
You're in the clear there.
Thank you.
I hate that it took both of us a good 30 seconds to remember, because I grew up watching Michael Vick, and I used to love that dude pre-dog fighting. No, I don't agree with his comments, but I understand this is just the old school mentality of I did this, so why can't you do it? Well, Michael Vick was never guaranteed, you know, $50 million over the course of several years.
A lot of haterade getting sipped by Newport News' finest.
Yeah. Is he a Virginia guy? So I still got to rock with Michael Vick for being a Virginia guy.
Look at you, just full heel Denton.
I am. I am relishing watching the Ravens kind of implode right now. It's beautiful. All right, it's D-Day and Big L, Denton Day, and Linnell Willingham here with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 and 910 The Fan. We're in for the junkies. When we get back, we'll take some of your calls, 800-636-1067. You want to weigh in on anything that went down over the weekend in the postseason? Plus, something that I have a big issue with that I think a lot of people are going to run with this week. I'll give it to you next. D-Day, Big L, 106.7 The Fan. Team 980 and 910 The Fan in Richmond. Junkies on 106.7. The Junkies are out. Denton Day, Linnell Willingham. We are here. The matchup, Linnell, that entices me the most next week, and I know this is way too early to look at this, the Bengals and the Bills.
Yeah.
And I can already tell that there are going to be people that use a platform to suggest that the home field advantage is going to be heavy in the Bills' favor. I think home field advantage in the National Football League is a myth.
What?
I think it's ridiculous. I think outside of three places, home field advantage is fake.
Where are those three places?
Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans when they black out the Superdome. Because, boy, is that that's an intimidating thing.
You know?
Enclosed space, everybody in all black, black visors for the Saints, and the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. The idea that Buffalo poises this insane home field advantage, I think that narrative is going to get run with this weekend, and I think it's an absolute load of crap. I think it's the furthest thing from the truth. The proof is in the fact that, one, Miami nearly beat them yesterday. The only thing that Buffalo has going for from a home field advantage standpoint would be that it's cold there.
Well, yeah.
But Cincinnati isn't exactly coming from Arizona.
Yeah, they don't give a damn.
They're the Cincinnati Bengals, for goodness sake. It gets cold in Cincinnati, too. I mean, quite honestly, Cincinnati, Buffalo, two miserable places to live.
Horrible.
I cannot explain why anybody would want to live in either of those two areas. But the thing is, with Cincinnati, like, they didn't play their best game on Sunday night, I didn't think, because they played a team that had played them twice already.
Exactly, and they've had their number since Joey Beansborough's gotten into the league. Like, they've constructed
defenses. Not last year, because Joe Burrow threw for nearly 500 yards twice against them last year. Yeah. But they made the adjustment. Next week, Cincinnati is going to go in there, and you are going to see why I think Joe Burrow is so much better than Josh Allen. You are going to witness a team that is an actual Super Bowl contender versus a team that people think is a Super Bowl contender. Everybody wanted to run with Buffalo, but it's very clear that Joe Burrow is him, as the children say. He is, in fact, Joe Himmer.
Joe Himmer.
I was going to go Burrow there. You can go Burrow when he did it LSU style. Burhim?
If I had the authority, I would add that to Cakes' 2023.
How about Joe Burhim?
Joe Burhim. Okay.
It still does not work. But you're picking up what I'm putting down.
I 100%.
You're picking up what I'm putting down. They're going to wax Buffalo next week.
I am in agreement that the Cincinnati Bengals are the better football team and that Joe Burrow is the better quarterback, which is ultimately the bigger story in this situation. I think before DeMar Hamlin's tragic situation that happened on Monday night, I mean, I think the thing that we're all forgetting about
Cincinnati is going to win that
game. Yeah, they came out and marched the football right down the field. Very little resistance from Buffalo's defense. The one thing I will say that worries me about the Cincinnati Bengals moving forward, we saw them deal with some attrition in their secondary last night. Eli Apple goes down. Their second-year corner, Taylor Britt, was questionable coming into the game. Jonah Williams goes out, their stud left tackle. A.L. Collins is already on the shelf dealing with a knee injury. I know they don't have Von Miller, talking about the Buffalo Bills, but that pass rush, they still got some dudes that can get home. I wonder how they're going to be able to combat that. And then in the secondary, who's going to check Stephon Diggs next week?
Who's going to check Jamar Chase or T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd?
Tre'Davious White got something to say about it. I do believe that. I worry about the attrition for Cincinnati. That is my AFC Super Bowl representative. For all the folks wondering, I got Eagles and Bengals, you know, representing, you know, NFC and AFC. I think if Kansas City, if Cincinnati,
there you go, third time's the charm.
It's early, man. If Cincy can win next week, I don't see them having an issue with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they have the Chiefs number.
No, because the Chiefs are the one of the three teams I think have home field advantage. And guess where the AFC Championship game was last year? In Kansas City. Yeah. Guess who was the road team? Cincinnati. Guess what they also did? Won in overtime after losing the coin flip, which Buffalo didn't do.
Yeah.
There's just a difference in the way that the teams carry themselves.
Correct.
I think the difference really between Joe Burrow and Josh Allen is that Joe Burrow does enough. Josh Allen tries to do too much. You saw that yesterday, and I think you're really going to see it as the playoff progresses. They have no run game. They have zero run game outside of Josh Allen. Like, the Bengals aren't the Ravens when it comes to running the football, right?
I was shocked. It's interesting that you brought up the running game. I was shocked that I know J.K. Dobbins is ticked off that he didn't get the ball. Joe Mixon has something to say about that as well. I mean, as much success as Cincinnati's had this year offensively, I think the thing that separates the Bengals from the other teams in the AFC is they can play both styles of football. They can play the finesse game and airy out, throw the ball 42 times, and then they got a bell cow when Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine does his thing too, where you can give them 20, 25 carries apiece and let them rock. Like, they are big, physical, and nasty up front. They can run the football.
I think I have PTSD with Samaje Perine. I'm not sure if I'm going like he does his thing. He is there.
What is there, because I know you're referring to his time here in D.C., the one Samaje Perine game that I remember is that collapse that we had against the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans that year. Wide open Ryan Grant touchdown. Chris Thompson gets annihilated. It was just tough.
Well, the Samaje Perine game I remember was when he was in college, and he ran for 400 yards in a game.
Yeah, and then people thought he was.
And then the Commanders drafted him, or whatever they were called at the time, 2017, so the Skins drafted him, and he was like, whoa, all right, here we go. We got our guy. He's going to go for 2,000 yards. Boy, did he not go for 2,000 yards. I don't even know if he ran for 2,000 yards in his career in D.C.
Yeah.
Hold on. Give me a second to check that now.
He had a couple hundred-yard performances. I actually liked Samaje Perine when he was here.
Fumbled a bunch.
Yeah, I know Jay Gruden does not have the same opinion as I do. He was not a Samaje Perine guy.
Right, Samaje Perine was also not in the city as long as I thought he was.
Yeah, it was like a cup of coffee. 2 years?
It was a year and change. He didn't even last the full second year.
Yeah, so he got cut. That's because Jay Gruden wouldn't have none of that. The thing I'll say about Samaje, though, man, being a guy that
plays thick with a couple of C's.
Speaking of thick, does last night count as a thick six for Hubbard?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, he's a big man. He needed some oxygen after.
Definitely. But he's lean. He carries his weight well, as the women like to say. You want to hit the phones on this, though. Any comments from this weekend on the NFL playoffs?
He's 265. That's a thick touchdown.
100%
That's a thick six.
Okay. Shout out to Hubbard, man. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Laps in D.C. What's going on, Lap? Also, this phone issue is real.
All right, the phone issue is real. All right, put Lap back on hold. We'll get to Lap as we get into our next hour here. We got some issues with the phone. But, yeah, I would say that Sam Hubbard's 98-yard scoop and score is a thick six.
100%. I think it's cool. And he also is in the small minority of dominant white defensive ends. I think that is another category that we don't talk about.
Yeah, very, very small group. I remember
– But they're dogs.
What was his name? Joseph Smith?
He's doing a bit. You're doing a bit, aren't you?
Now, is that not the 49ers guy with the
Justin Smith.
Justin.
Yeah.
Yeah, not
you
Joe
really
Smith.
Tried to white him. Joe Smith, about the whitest name you could find. Holy
I knew he
cow,
was out west. I don't know where I think he played his ball at Utah, too. Let me look up where Justin Smith played his football.
I believe you're accurate on
I should have just used Ryan Kerrigan, which was a much better but, option. Know. No, Justin Smith is from Missouri. Why did I think his name was Joseph Smith? Well, I know why I thought his name was Joseph Smith. He's a white defensive end, for goodness
look,
sake.
Look, it's a fraternity that's special, though, man. They got some dogs. The Bosa brothers, well, there's only one half of the Bosa brothers. He gets to claim that now because what is it?
Yeah, I could have used the Bosa brothers. I could have used Kerrigan. Why did I automatically
Murphy,
go to
Trent
Justin
Murphy?
Smith?
I mean, there was so, yeah, some
are we guys. Considering Trent Murphy in that category? I don't know.
So he's got a great.
I mean, Trey team. Hendrickson, who's on
Trey
the
Hendrickson.
Team.
Yes, they have the only duo in the league.
Lord have mercy. I'm sorry, Justin Joseph Smith. What is his middle name?
It probably is Joseph.
If it is Joseph, to your credit. I will feel validated. His nickname is the Cowboy. Hold on, give me his middle name. Come on, Wikipedia. I don't get a middle name for him. I guess.
Well, I don't think Wiki's that strong. If Wiki's giving out middle names, you can change his middle name on Wikipedia if you want.
I could.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I want to do that. Have you ever made a Wikipedia change before?
I have not. I don't. Not a big Wiki guy. I like to go to Wiki when I'm looking at like draft results, so to speak, of like draft history.
Oh, I gotcha.
Teams.
Yeah.
Always fun to do that with the dumb Washington Commanders, seeing all the draft that we've botched over the years.
Hey, speaking of something, a draft we didn't botch was potentially drafting Sam Howell in round number 5. The latest on him, could he potentially be the gone-away starter in 2023? Denton Day, Linnell Willingham, we're in for the Junkies, 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.